and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And today, I have not just, well, let me first let you know who helps bring arts live and local, because that's what it's almost time for on this 77-degree weather day with a light breeze. And we're at our max here for temperature. Thank you very much. It's a gorgeous day, and evenings or night times are in the 50s. So it's going to be that way all weekend, which is perfect because Art Walk is coming up and lots more, and we'll be talking about that. I'm sending this show out, first of all, that the people of the world must learn to live together, make peace. That's this continent and all other continents. I'm also sending out a great big happy birthday wish to Squamish. Sydney, happy birthday, and happy birthday to everyone who has a birthday this year. Oh yeah, happy, happy, happy birthday to everyone, and especially to Sydney in Squamish. And right now, I have my first guests here, and they have a heavy responsibility. They didn't know this, though, because they are my only guests today from the Astoria Art Walk, which is happening tomorrow evening all over Astoria and all the galleries and then some. And I know some of you have been hearing about the freak show at the Jill McVarish secret hideaway, but it is sold out. The good news is you can still go over to 10th Street and catch the artwork at Jill McVarish Gallery, which is between Marine Drive and the river. And that is very convenient because my guests are going also to be on 10th Street. I have Jamie Boyd and John Clark here with the Print Portfolio Project at the Astoria Visual Arts, the AVA Gallery, 1010 Duane Street. Yep, right on the corner of 10th and Duane. It's a lovely spot with lots of windows, so you get to peek in at other times. But of course, the best time to get there is during Art Walk. So welcome, Jamie and John.
Thanks, thank Carol.
Hey, you bet. So we got Print Portfolio Project. I know what prints are.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it means when you say print portfolio. What is that?
Well, on a previous nonprofit I worked at in Seattle, they asked artists to donate an image, and then they would sell them as a portfolio. So you could have, so they had like eight artists. So we invited eight Astoria artists, or AVA, a member artist, to donate an image. And then we'll sell them as a portfolio.
Oh,
so
wow.
You'll have a collection of eight artists, the addition is 20, so we'll have 10 portfolios to sell, and then 10 individual each artist.
Okay, so what's going to be on the walls is the individual artist,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people can buy just
One print if they want, or they can buy the portfolio.
Okay.
And all the images are donated to the AVA. All the profits go to the AVA.
So this is a fundraiser for the fabulous Astoria Visual mm-hmm. Arts organization.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight, though. There will be 10 packages of eight each,
mm-hmm.
and then there will be 10 of each print?
Yes.
As well.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so 10 people can...
yes.
get singles. And okay, this is a higher mathematical problem here. So.
But it's addition of 20. So there's not more than 20?
That's it.
That's it.
So the idea would be get there early and see what's on the wall. And tell us about these artists. I'm going to name them off, and I'm going to let John speak for himself and tell us what he's got. Actually, I saw a picture of you and Jill McVarish. So did you print her work as well, or what was going on?
Well, both Jamie and I have been printing everybody's work.
Oh.
And they're not partaking in the actual technical end of it, other than providing the drawing on the plate. We do the etching. We do the printing.
Oh, my Lord. Is this like a 24/7 job you took on?
Pretty much.
That's a huge project. And this is, you're doing this over at Studio 11?
Yes,
is that?
We have the two Intaglio presses there for printmaking. And Intaglio is a type of printing that's been done since Rembrandt was around. So,
John, you want to tell us more about the Intaglio press? I think one of those, or maybe both of them, are yours. Is that?
Yes, I have two now. It's just a really old printing process that's almost 500 years old and involves etching line into copper or zinc plates with nitric acid or ferric chloride, and then cleaning the plate off and hand rubbing ink into the etched lines, then wiping the surface clean, putting it on the press bed, covering it with damp paper and then felt blankets, and running it through the press. It's a lot of work.
How many prints can you get from one inking of the copper?
Just one.
Oh, my God.
you have to re-ink every time and go through the process.
I can't believe this. That's a huge amount of work. Yeah.
It is, but the line you get is unlike anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. So each one is basically, even though the image is the same, each one is an original.
Correct.
Because the ink may go on differently and the way it's inked. And, wow, I had no idea. What's with the word intaglio, which is spelled, by the way, I-N-T-A-G-L-I-O?
Oh.
Good. But you don't pronounce the G, right?
No, it's Italian.
Like Modigliani.
Right.
So what does that word actually mean? Do you know? Or what?
You know, I really don't know.
How is that different from another print?
Well, lithography is the ink stays on the raised areas, where intaglio is in the valley of the
ink is below the surface of the plate.
So, wow.
And then, you know, linoleum cuts or block prints, that's on the surface of the...
Wow. So are you still working on this?
Yes.
Okay. I can see you're pulling all-nighters, both of you.
Yeah, as soon as we're down here, it's back to work.
Back to work. Well, thank you for coming in. Okay, so the artists who submitted images, so did they give you a metal plate?
Well, we gave them a metal plate.
You gave them a metal plate.
And it had a ground on it, and they could draw...
Wait, what does that mean, a ground?
A resist that the acid won't eat.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
It just kind of a resist. And then they drew the image into the plate, and then we etched it, you know, with the acid.
So these have not been shown before?
No.
These were all done for this show.
Right, it's all new.
Holy cow. See, I did not know all of this. I thought, you know, because these are printmakers, I thought they just gave you the prints. Oh, that would have been way too easy for Jamie Boyd and John Clark. They've taken on the whole deal. Okay, so some of the artists, in addition to Jamie and John, we have Reed Clark, no relation to John Clark.
No.
And David Coyne, Sterling Gorsuch, Roger Hayes, Jill McVarish, and Robert Paulman. So I think all of these people have shown in Astoria.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And different places. And, did you have a hard time getting folks to say yes to this?
No, everybody said they were really willing and happy to give the image to the AVA.
Right.
Keep that.
And have Jamie and John do all the work. Yeah. Okay. Aren't you glad? Well, this is quite a contribution on your part. So, Jamie, what did you end up
I did a portrait of John's son.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen many of your portraits, so but I haven't seen this one.
Yeah, and mine's mostly, there's different kinds of way to etch. There's, you can dry point, which use dry with the copper and a steel-tipped device, and mine is all acid-etched. Image. There's spit bite where you can draw with the acid itself, and a few of those prints have acid etched into them. And
I'm thinking, folks, I don't think they'll let you in, but maybe you can go over to Studio 11, which is on 11th and Exchange, and see what the heck they're doing over another time, perhaps. Let them work this time.
Yeah.
So, and you are predominantly a glass artist, aren't you, or both?
Well, John introduced his press to the studio in 2005, and in exchange, I teach him glass, and he teaches me printmaking.
Oh, nice. So nice.
I did take some lithography classes in art school, but not a lot. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it clear, they are, each of them is an artist in her and his own right. John, what did you decide to do for your image?
It's kind of different for me. It's a biblical theme this time. Old Testament.
Not a skull.
No, it's not.
Whoa.
Quite the opposite.
Wow. Okay. Okay. What's the kind of size are these?
They're all 6x8.
Okay.
The copper plate is 6x8.
And right. The paper size is 11x14, so it's all consistent. It's all the same.
Right, right. But except for the image, which is quite different.
Which will be quite different because, say, different artists, and a lot of these artists have never printmade before. It's all new to them, the whole medium. So makes it interesting.
This is very exciting. Okay, so the AVA Gallery, again, is on the corner of Duane and 10th Street. It's 1010 Duane, and you can't miss it. It's literally right on the northeast corner. That's the riverside towards Brownsmead. and it's a whole glassed in, both the walls. And so this promises to be a wonderful show. Now, how long will the show be up?
June 2nd. It goes to June 2nd.
Through June 2nd,
yes.
Okay.
And then we hope to have the show travel.
That'd be
great. We want to, Willamette University is a huge printmaking
department.
Then, yeah. Maybe approach them, other community colleges that have printmaking.
Nice.
Maybe some galleries, Davidson Gallery in Seattle, we're going to try to go up there.
Okay. Very ambitious. I'm very impressed. Okay, folks, this is tomorrow evening, and it's 5 till 8. Is that the time?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So 5 to 8, the Astoria Visual Arts AVA, and I know you hear about them a lot here, and that's because they do a lot of stuff. Now, tomorrow evening, as I mentioned, is Art Walk, and so in addition to AVA Gallery and Jill McVarish Gallery, which is at the other, at the river end of 10th Street, the AVA Artist in Residence is also going to open her studio. Is that upstairs?
Upstairs,
okay.
Yeah.
Same building, but upstairs. And the Astoria Studio Collective is a new art studio space with 19 art studios on 3 floors. And it has the same address. It is a little east of the AVA Gallery, right there on Duane. And I peeked in today, and I saw Audrey's ceramics she was preparing. And then I saw some work. I have no idea whose it is, but it was very interesting looking for lamps that with a design. There's
Glenn's work.
Glenn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can catch all of that, which is, I love that idea that it's easy to, once you get there, you get to see a lot of good stuff. Over on 11th Street, Imogen Gallery is holding the show that was up last month, which is that luscious, I'm looking for her name, and there it is, Deb Stoner, and it's a gorgeous, very colorful, rich, colorful gardening. The Art Loft, now they usually, yeah, sure enough, they're showing between 1 and 4 rather than the regular time, which is 5 to 7. And they're just above Dots and Doodles over on 3rd Street and Marine Drive. Winecraft has some artwork at the foot of 10th Street. And Paul Paulson, right down the street from McVarish, also on 10th. Something called the Blue Collar Collective on 10th. Boy, 10th Street, it's happening. It's 106, and that's new to me. And then the Astoria Underground Tours, I don't know what they're doing. They're at 1125 Marine Drive. Check them out. And Luminary Arts is a trunk show by Jacob Storm Deathrudge, and he is the book man. He's quite demonstrating on how he makes his hardcover book journals. I've got one of those. They're wonderful. Shecky. Mike Metzner and brothers Luke and Olaf are going to be making music there. Forsythia has their art hanging. Holly McCone and their beautiful dog. Riversea Gallery, Poetry of Gesture with Expressionist Paintings by Portland artist L. McDonald. And the Art Stall, 1268 Commercial, Nissa Desmond. And Temple Gallery is featuring Phyllis Taylor, who, at this season, she has usually often has gorgeous flowers or ships, you never know, and live music by Peter Unander. And there is more, and more. Check out Coast Weekend if you'd like to know more. And I'm really looking forward to this. The Print Portfolio Project, AVA Gallery, 1010 Duane Street. Thank you, Jamie Boyd and John
Clark. Thank you, Carol.
Thanks
for having
us. And I've got some music for you from Three Leg Torso. They are going to be at the NCRD, the North County Recreation District Theater, their Performing Arts Center, tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. Uh-oh, there they go, there they go. It's Three Leg Torso, and yes, you've heard me say many times, I love these guys. They're just dynamite, and they're funny storytellers, and they're going to be at the Inhalem, that's 9th Street, NCRD Performing Arts Center, tomorrow evening. I don't have music from the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. Is featuring Dick Lap, or Lappe, who's, I should have pulled out a Gordon Lightfoot, one of my all-time favorite musicians, and he is going to be there tomorrow night, and of course, on Friday night, they therefore have open mic. But right now, I have something entirely different, and new to me, Melissa Lagerquist.
Yeah.
Come closer. Bring the mic up. I'm sorry, I didn't say. Yeah, that's perfect. Right. Melissa, hi. And now you have to talk into the mic.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, like that.
Thanks
okay.
for having me.
You bet. Now, Melissa, have you been on this show before?
No, I have not.
Have you been on KMUN before?
No, I have not.
Have you been on radio before?
Never.
Whoa,
it's
folks.
My first time.
We have a real radio virgin here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm delighted to be your introduction to being live on the radio. And Melissa is here. She is a flute player, and she is also an artist.
Yes.
A visual artist.
Yes.
I have not seen your artwork yet, but I am looking forward to it because she is here representing or speaking on behalf of the Columbia River Symphony, which has two concerts. It's, I believe the name now is Courage to Dream Big. Is that the name of your concert now?
Symphonic Stories 4, A Whale of a Dream.
Oh, it is A Whale of a Dream. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know which was the current name. Okay. And this is their fourth Symphonic Stories in 6 years with a pairing of music, writing, and art. And the artist is Melissa, in addition to being in the orchestra. Are you from here?
Yes, I was born in Astoria.
So have you been playing with Columbia River Symphony for a while?
No, actually, I stopped playing the flute after high school, and I recently started about 2 years ago again.
Good for you.
So I
did you move away? Or did
Yeah, I moved to Beaverton for a while.
And then you realized how silly that was.
I missed it.
Yeah, that's why a lot of us have chosen this beautiful place that you grew up in and know well.
I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I honestly
well,
am.
And did you know there was so much availability of for you to play music when you came back?
No, actually, and I got overwhelmed because I joined, I think, three or four different symphonies.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to cut back this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's we're so rich in the arts,
yes.
the music arts,
yes.
the visual arts, like you said.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I have no idea how old you are.
I'm 35.
Oh, my God.
36,
folks.
Actually.
I bet she still gets carded. That's how young she looks. I was going to say, so you've
Thank
seen
you.
This sound, this town change.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's changed quite a bit.
Yeah. And the arts and culture have
It's flourishing.
Really bloomed.
Definitely.
Okay. So Columbia River Symphony, Symphonic Stories for a Whale of a Dream. Why don't you tell us when it's happening, because now I'm not sure my dates are right either.
So
go ahead.
So tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at the North Coast Family Fellowship in Seaside.
Okay.
And then Sunday we'll be at Clatsop Community College Patriot Hall, 3
okay.
p.m. And rumor is there might be a special surprise for the mothers.
Oh, that's right. It is Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day.
It? Yes. Okay. Now tell me, if you're allowed to give away a little bit, what did you do with the artwork? And is this going to be projected, or how does it work?
Some of the images are going to be projected digitally, and
okay.
I'll actually be bringing some of the paintings in. I did 12 paintings on canvas
wow.
of various sizes, and it's all whale-themed, so they're all whales.
Now, is that something that interested you, or did you do it because
nope.
that's what
Corey came to me and asked me if I would be interested because I recently started painting and he'd seen my images and liked them. So he asked if I would do the art for the program. And of course, I was like, what an opportunity.
That's great. So we have not just a concert, but an art show as well. This
yes.
is this is terrific. So and what's funny is, oh, but it's in Seaside, so you won't be part of Astoria Art Walk.
Right.
But in Seaside, Saturday evening, 7 o'clock. North Coast Family Fellowship. I'm not sure where that is.
That is on Wahana
oh,
Road.
Okay. So that's the back road
mm-hmm.
there. Okay. And so we know it's all whales. How many? 12 paintings of whales.
12 paintings.
What do you do that makes them different?
different scenes. So Corey wrote a story, actually, for this concert. And if you give me just a second.
Okay.
I grab my notes.
Okay.
So, cool.
yeah.
It's a story that is told with musical selections that are played to represent parts of the story that we are sharing with the audience. And the story is the story of a young whale who is unsure of his purpose in life. Living with his mother, Basil the whale takes his dreams to new heights, involving the most courageous dream possible that explores the world of courage, love, and the right to be free.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. And he lives with his mother, which is perfect for Mother's Day
yes.
weekend. Not a coincidence, I'm sure. So what are the pieces of music?
The pieces of music are as follows.
Okay.
Whale Warriors.
By?
That's composed by Brian Balmages. I'm not sure how to pronounce
that. Okay.
Cantus, Song of the Night by Thomas Doss. Paradiso by Robert W. Smith. Nalakatak by Carl Stroman. And Pines of Rome by Ottorino Respighi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
That's pretty good.
And then we're going to finish with Of Sailors and Whales, which is a 5-part song.
Wow.
About the story of Moby Dick.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So was this music all new to Columbia River Symphony?
I believe there are a few pieces in there that they have done before in the past, but most of it's new.
And it was new to you, all of it?
All of it's new to me.
You don't have a day job, do you?
No, I babysit, and right now I do not. No.
Babysitting is a day job, but it's it does give you a little time, because I'm thinking you had to learn all the music and you had to paint all these paintings.
And I have 3 children as well.
And you have 3 children?
Single mother.
Oh my goodness. Well, you aren't going to get in trouble out on the street, that's for sure.
Definitely.
You've got a very full life. This is quite exciting. Melissa Lagerquist. Yeah, your name sounds like you should come from Astoria. Is that Swedish?
Or? Yes. Yeah. It's Swedish.
Right. And so congratulations to you.
Well, thank you.
And of course, congratulations to Corey and the entire orchestra. Do you have any sense of how many people are in the orchestra these days-ish?
Gosh, I want to say close to 50 maybe.
Okay.
By now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So again, folks, this is tomorrow evening, 7:00 at the North Coast Family Fellowship on Wahana Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and of course, you get there before 6:30 is good. So you can get yourself
I think the doors open at 6.
6. Oh, boy. Okay. Gives you plenty of time. And then on Sunday, 3:00 at Patriot Hall, Clatsop Community College.
Yes.
And there is parking, which is good news. And so get up there early, get a spot, and then Patriot Hall. I'm not sure where in Patriot Hall. Have you seen the layout there?
It's in the main gymnasium.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the new college gym, basically. But this is great. There's real culture going on there as well.
Definitely.
I'm delighted. Melissa, thank you so much. I look forward to hearing you, to seeing your work. Have you shown your work at any place else yet?
Mm-mm.
So this is quite the weekend for you. First time on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
First time having a almost gallery show.
Oh,
and part of the Columbia River Symphony. How many flutes are there?
There will be 4 performing.
We've had
up to 8.
Okay.
But not all of them are able to make the performance.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations to you.
We're excited.
Take care. Bye-bye. And again, that is tomorrow night and Sunday. Tomorrow night at 7, Sunday at 3. And let's see what I've got for you. Oh, I've got something from Chicken and Dumplings. These folks are going to be at the Sou'Wester. And actually, they will be on the air tomorrow on Crossroads with Bonnie. The Adventures of Chicken and Dumplings. That would be Tafashi Drake, whose name I messed up last time she was here, and I messed it up again. And Nikki Jardin. And they are delightful. Let's have a listen. And be right back at you. You're listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB in Tillamook. Yes, that is Chicken and Dumplings. And again, they will be at the Sou'Wester tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. And they will also be on Crossroads right here on Coast Community Radio. That's between 12 and 2. So, I have here in the studio a young woman whom I just met, And I don't know very much about her, except she also is doing something at the Sou'wester. So, Ami.
Hi.
Did I get it right this time?
It's Ami. Ami Ward.
Oh, gosh.
Close.
Ami.
That's all right.
I want to give you that May. I wrote Ami, but it's spelled A-I-M-E-E, folks. So just
yeah,
bear
it's
with
confusing.
Us. And her son is, and I'm going to pronounce it the way I say it, which is Ori. Mm-hmm. But you say Ori.
Ori, yeah.
Okay, which is adorable. And he's here in the studio, too.
Napping.
Which yes. is a good thing, because he's a very happy baby and very vocal.
Yeah, yes.
And tell us what you're doing. I'm going to just give you a few minutes.
Okay.
I want you to tell us your proposal and what you'd like from our audience.
Okay, great. So at the Sou'wester, from June 17th to the 20th, me and my friend Garnet Griebel is hosting a retreat, and it's titled Unleash Your Spiritual Superpowers. It's going to be 4 days of intensive tool gathering to heighten your vibrational frequency. So we'll be working with crystal energetics, spirit guide activation, psychic awareness, energy field dynamics, tarot readings, oracles, meditation, journaling, and there's about 6 classes on the roster. It's going to be pretty intensive and also really fun. I'm assuming that the people who choose to attend are going to be pretty amazing and ready to level up. So the way that you can get a hold of a spot here, there's only 14 places.
And we don't give prices, but tell us how you can find a spot.
So if you go to the Sou'wester website and go onto their wellness tab, you'll find Unleash Your Spiritual Superpowers as one of the retreats that are offered there. And you can sign up to join the retreat on the website. And like I said, there's only 14 spaces, so act quick.
Yeah, and people will be staying at the Sou'wester.
Yes.
As well as being part of this. Can you give me in a short sentence, since I don't know you, what is your background that
brings
you
here
to this?
Well, I am an intuitive and a clairvoyant. I work with spirit guides, and my specific niche is connecting people to their celestial team. And I do energy work based on pranic healing, but I create specific protocols for people according to what their guides are telling me to create for them. So it's not as rigid as pranic healing.
Right. Okay. Now, folks, if you understood what Ami just said, finally got the
then
name
this
right.
Is the retreat for
then
you.
This is the retreat for you. Is there some way that they could connect with you and get more information about it?
Yes. I'm actually on Instagram at Creepy Beautiful. I have a shop in Astoria on Pier 11 called Creepy Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
And I work out of there doing psychic work and energy healing, and also it's a gift shop. And it
is that pier in the...
It's not in the mall. It's it's where the fish shop used to be, and the skateboard shop was there, too.
So,
it's kind of a...
So it's by the river on, like, 11th Street or 10th
Street? It's right on the pier, on 11th.
Okay, now 11th is closed right now, so how
it
do
is. You can get down there. You can walk down there. You have
you
to enter
walk.
Through 10th if
okay.
you're walking.
Go to 10th and then walk through the mall and get to... Creepy Beautiful is easier to say than...
Ami.
But I like Ami better, so. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And if you saw what she looks like, well, she's a perfect introduction to my next guests because she's looking quite beautiful. And I'm sure that the right people are going to materialize, so. And now, my last guests and these folks... I was lucky enough to see yesterday morning, or actually I guess it was afternoon, 12:30, our good friend, my good friend, our community's good friend, Margaret or Maggie Wall, who is the instigator, the director, the choreographer, the everything for Astoria School of Ballet, is back again with another original adaptation of Princess and the Pea. And, you know, when I heard about that, I thought, oh, yeah, Princess and the Pea. Well, we all know that story. Well, folks, I think you better get over there tonight. First of all, I'll tell you, they've done four performances. I've got two beautiful young women here. I'm not sure if they were in all four, but there have been four performances serving over 2,000 of our school children in this area. That was yesterday morning, two shows, and this morning and this afternoon, two shows. They're coming back for more this evening at 7 o'clock.
The last one.
And this one is open to the public, and I highly recommend, because I sat there with an SEG, I won't say what that is, but a big grin on my face. I loved it. And there were lots of surprises, and it wasn't like any Princess and the Pea I've ever seen. Has that ever been done as a ballet?
I'm sure somewhere over, yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know.
It's not in the general classical ballet canon.
Not even close. What was the music you were using?
I just selected some pieces from Edward Elgar, the Brit, the composer of Pomp and Circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have Pomp and Circumstance in the show, but various selections from him.
Mm-hmm.
I just arranged and made it into our very own Princess and the Pea.
It certainly was, and I disagree. I think this may be the first ever ballet of Princess and the Pea. It was just phenomenal. And
Thank you.
You brought with you two of your students.
Yes.
/ ballet performers.
Yes.
We have Julie Foss. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
She's waving. Yeah, it's good. It's okay. You can wave to me, but to the rest of the audience, you did it right. You said hi. And her sister, Susan Foss. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Okay. Now, have you been taking ballet with Maggie for a while? The mic is for you to talk into. That's it. Good. Don't be shy.
I've been at Astoria School of Ballet since the 7th grade.
And what grade are you in now?
I am a senior in high school.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a way to end your high school career.
It's been an amazing experience, for sure.
Is that where you started dancing, or were you dancing before
that? No, I was dancing before. I've been dancing since the 2nd grade. And then I think ballet since probably the 5th grade. And then I started doing it more seriously in the 7th.
Are you planning to follow up somehow with ballet?
Yeah, I definitely want to find a studio in Eugene where I'm going to college.
Oh,
and
good for you.
Because it's such a good form of exercise as well as, artistic endeavors.
Well, were one of the three. I won't be giving too much away.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the three. What would you tell us? What would you call yourselves?
Yeah. So I play one of the three gypsies. So we kind of are the parental figures to the little princess who has a whole adventure.
Yes. She has a whole adventure. And you three were off the charts. It was just fabulous.
Thank you.
I loved it. And you could tell you were loving it, too. Now, did you do all four performances?
Yes, I did.
So it was the same three dancers?
Yeah.
Okay. It was just wonderful.
Thank you.
The choreography is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Of course, that is not a surprise because Maggie Wall has done... What year is this for your performances at the Liberty Theater?
This is the, I think it's the 11th time we've performed at the 11th year at the Liberty, but it's the 10th year officially of our partnership with the schools and with the Liberty Theater, bringing the schools in for, 3 or 4 shows each year. So this is the 10th anniversary that so many kids have gotten to come and see us.
You were backstage.
Yes.
I was out there with the kids. It was amazing to see their response. They were so excited. And to get, I think there were only 150 kids there when I was there. This morning, I understand there were close to 650 kids.
Yeah.
But even so, they are riveted.
They were
a
good audience yesterday, too.
And I have to say also that Julie may be one of the oldest dancers, but how old were those teeny tiny little ones?
We have a couple of little ones, 3 and 4 year olds, who are just doing amazing things. I mean, they're out there dancing to classical music.
They were.
You know, it's very cute and simple, but they're out there and they're doing it.
They're part of the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not just standing there in their bear costumes looking.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You know.
Although they are very cute,
too. Oh, God. Then you could pick them up and eat them. Susan, what was your role in the show?
I was one of the 4 princesses and a bridal attendant.
So did you have to change costume during your... Okay. What color did you wear?
I was the gold dress.
Okay. And how long have you been studying ballet?
This is my 5th year.
So why? Just because your big sister does it? Is that why you're doing it?
I don't know. Well, she did it, so I started doing it, but I really like it.
Yeah. How does it make you feel? Do it, 2 different things, and I'm going to ask you too, Julie.
All right.
2 different things. One is... taking the classes, and the other is actually getting out there on stage when you know hundreds of people are watching you. Both of those.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, like, classes are just, like, well, it's, like, easier
to... Repetitive.
Yeah. It's more of, like, the same thing every day, like, so you're improving for the show. And then rehearsals just almost every day.
Wow.
For like 2 months.
And how does it feel to be on stage?
Pretty good. Like, it's worth it after all the rehearsals and hard work.
And you weren't nervous?
Not really.
Okay. I would have been. I'm telling you. So, Julie, how about you? What is it about ballet that, because you said it's really important. Why? What does it do for you?
I really like to exercise, but I'm not a super competitive and sporty person. And arts and music are a huge part of my life. So going to class every day is, you know, really cathartic, and it's a way for me to not only, you know, build muscle and exercise, but I get to, you know, relieve stress. It's a really good stress reliever for me. And it's a nice routine to have. It just makes me really happy. And then performing is kind of like that culmination of all of your hard work and repetitive exercises. And, you know, being able to perform a whole show with a whole cast of people is a really good experience. Because, you know, you kind of build a family, and these are the people that you're around every single day, and you see everyone improve. So, you know, being able to come together and put one show on is really amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wish you good luck next
year. We're
going
to miss
too.
You.
Yeah.
That just got me a little choked up.
Oh, look, she's crying. Yeah. Well, she's also extremely, Julie's extremely articulate. What grade are you in, Susan?
8th grade.
Oh, there's quite a discrepancy here. Yeah. And here I thought they were both standing out there, and they're both tall young women, and I thought they were same age until they sat down. Then
yeah, so Susan's going into high school next year.
Wow.
I'm leaving.
So you started early too then. I didn't realize that. Maggie, how did you decide to do this piece?
I guess it had been in... I thought about doing it for a few years. It's sort of like one of those things that was on my list of maybe some days or maybe someday. And I thought this was the year. I had the right amount of people, the right kind of people for it, mm-hmm. I thought. And things just kind of come together like that sometimes.
So how long does it take you to... choreograph something like this? And do you take into account who the students are?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. You have
okay.
to.
Okay.
And who's suited for what, and how many people you have. who are going to be in the show and what parts. And I guess it takes me, I get started in earnest really in January.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin rehearsals seriously, I would say, in early February.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they build in intensity and frequency as we go along. And
rehearsing every day. Mm-hmm. I heard
yeah.
that.
Yeah. yeah.
So this is a committed group of dancers you've got here. Who was the, was it one person who played
the princess?
The princess.
Yes.
All five shows.
Yes.
4 and 1.
Her name's Olivia.
Olivia.
She came and did your show last year with
me. I was thinking that. What's her last name?
Her last name is Kim Kino, hyphenated.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, I got it. And how old is she?
She is...
7th grade.
12. 12.
Okay. She's 12. Exquisite.
Yeah, this she's is, very yeah. talented. Yeah,
you've got
very.
A lot of beautiful dancers.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
And good kids, too.
Well, they were having a good time, too.
Yeah, definitely.
But the way you put things together just was absolutely delightful.
And thanks, Carol. That means so much from you.
Well, and your prince.
Logan.
Logan. I danced with Logan last in... Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah. This is his first year dancing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That took a lot of courage, I must yeah. say. But he's fearless, isn't he?
And I've been really hard on him and pushed him.
Good.
And
good.
He has just ridden it out and done everything with a nod and a smile. And
the sisters are giggling. I don't know quite why, but I guess this is an inside joke. You'd have to be
He's
there.
Just been great. And he's just very... easygoing and happy to be there. And yeah. I mean, he's just yeah. a little cutie.
He's, so cute.
He's funny. He's yeah. just a cute curly-headed.
Yeah.
Curly-haired. I mean,
the whole thing, it from start to finish, it just, and it's a surprise there. It's not like Once Upon a Mattress. So it's, you know, it's maybe the original story, whatever it is. Can you give us just a little bit on Astoria School of Ballet? Tell us what it is, where it is, if people have children, how old, how they should get in touch with you, if they want to dance, etc.
Astoria School of Ballet was founded by myself in 2004. We are located in the Liberty Theater is our home. Our studios are on the second floor around the back side of the building. We feel so fortunate to be there and to have access to the theater and the stage and the community that supports the theater on a regular basis. And it's just becoming like a little performing arts haven over there, and it's really terrific. We do... strictly ballet at my school. That's my specialty. And
you were a professional dancer yourself.
Early on, at a young age, and then various back surgeries led me to take another path for a while, and then I found my way back to ballet in college and started teaching. And we have classes every day of the week for ages 3 and up, basically. We do them as soon as they're out of diapers.
Okay. Yeah, that's the requirement, folks. Can someone who is, say, 14 and has never danced before, is there a place for that person?
Yes. In fact, we have a lot, well, I would say a fair number of kids have started later, and ballet is one of those things that it is more difficult when you start later, but there's always a place mm-hmm. and a class for mm-hmm. those people.
Okay.
And yeah, there's opportunities for everybody.
Nice. And as a former, very, very, very long ago student of ballet, mm-hmm. I started when I was 5 and I stopped when I was 12 when they wouldn't let me go on point, and I was devastated, and now I'm glad I didn't, but I have a great appreciation for ballet because, and I'm wondering about the Foss sisters in terms of getting you in touch with your body, not just because mm-hmm. you mentioned exercise is important yeah. to you, but this is different. learning how to stand, how to hold yourself, how the body works together.
Yeah, definitely. You learn how to hold yourself, and, you know, it doesn't only transfer to, you know, your posture, but it transfers to kind of how you approach life in general and your interactions with people, you know, patience and
confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you
are really you? Well said, Julie.
She's very good. We should keep her. Susan, Susan, do you want to just say ditto, or do you have something you want to add?
<about this. laughs>
She said it all, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for coming in. Thank you for the fabulous performance. Folks, you can go this evening. The show is at 7. Go to LibertyAstoria.org. Or you can show up and get your ticket before. Actually, the box office is probably open right now
right
on
now,
12th
I think it is.
And Commercial. Go over and get your tickets. That way you don't have to worry about getting there early. But don't come late. That's kind of rude to the performers. And you don't want to miss any of this. It's a beautiful performance. Bring the kids. If you don't have kids, bring yourself. That's what I like to do because it is terrific. Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial, Princess and the Pea, original adaptation, choreography by Margaret Wall, Maggie Wall from the Astoria School of Ballet. Congratulations to all of the dancers and to Maggie. And,
thank you so much.
And to Julie for graduating.
Thank you.
Even though we think you should stick around.
I know.
No, you can go away. Just come back when you're
I definitely
done, right?
Will come
maybe
back.
So, I don't know
visit.
How Susan feels about it, but yeah. That's it. Are your other, were the other partners seniors too? Or are you the only?
I'm the only current senior.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's lucky. At least you'll have them for left, you know. For
yeah.
next year.
I think
thank you so much.
Julie's the only one we're losing this
year. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have a cry fest again. Thanks for being
here. Thanks so
here.
Much, Carol.
Thank you.
You bet. Don't break a leg tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.
And tonight also, let me just let you know, Labor Temple at 9 o'clock has a punk rock and roll show. Tomorrow night, same at 10. On Sunday, they have comedy at 8. And the Hoffman has rock painting workshop at 6:15. Raymond Theater, the Willapa Players with Curtin Raymond. I'm not sure it's at the theater. The Willapa Players, probably. Curtin Up, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. Long Beach, Washington, the Picture Attic, till 7:30. It's open now, 7-Eleven Pacific. And congratulations to Sue Svensson. For showing her art, maybe for the first time, Coaster Theater Bunbury through May 26th. And the Tolovana Arts Colony has a party tonight at Tolovana Hall. Tomorrow, the fabulous Three-Leg Torso at NCRD at 7:30. Dick Lappe at the Performing Arts Center on the Peninsula at 7 in Long Beach with a Gordon Lightfoot show. Columbia River Symphony, 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Seaside, 3 o'clock at Patriot Hall on Sunday. Southwester, Chicken and Dumplings. The Fairgrounds is having the fabulous plant sale from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's Master Gardeners. North Coast Culinary Fest all over Cannon Beach. Well, not all over, all weekend. At 207 North Spruce. Seaside Library is featuring Ron Walker, 1 p.m. tomorrow with his Northwest Film Series. And Hi Hi has their open studio. Sunday, Fort George, Strangled Darlings, Cello and Mando. It's good music despite the name. And Sunday Afternoon Live is featuring the Brownsmead Flats. That's at the Raymond Theater, so I'm not sure where Willapa Players are in Raymond, though. Monday, White Clover Grange for Reed Hawk. Don't forget Peer Pressure Productions on, of course, the 15th of the month. It's for the children, and it's Snow White, and I'm excited because I get to be in it 10:15 in the morning, 12:15 in the morning. We have schools coming, and then 7:15 in the evening for the entire public. That's at 10:15 Commercial. Where else? Don't miss it. And Thursday, Cannon Beach History Center, Sir Francis Drake. Thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned for Left, Right, and Center, and KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Happy birthday, Sydney.